The following message is brought to you by New Song Church and Pastor Joshua Blunt in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. For more information on New Song, visit us online at newsongpeople.com.
I am excited to be here this morning. I always love when I get to preach at New Song. When Pastor Josh asked me to share about the parables, I called the parable of the soils real quick. So that's what I'm going to be teaching, the parable of the soils. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and open it up. This is a story that Jesus told, and it's actually in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but today we're going to be looking at it from the book of Matthew. So open up to Matthew chapter 13. If you don't have your Bibles, don't worry. You can follow along with me on the screens. Now, when Josh first started this series, he said that the word parables means to set alongside. And he was saying that when Jesus told stories, he would take these daily truths of everyday living and he would set them aside a spiritual truth. Another definition for parables is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the daily truth of living in this parable is all about farming. Do I have any farmers in the room? Anyone? Any farmers? I'm not talking about growing some cilantro in your backyard. Like, are you a farmer? I see maybe one, kind of a timid one. Okay, so farming is not something that we are very familiar. It's not a daily truth of living for us anymore today, right? Not a lot of people are farmers. If you're like me, you don't have a green thumb, then maybe you're kind of thinking, I don't know, this isn't something that I'm familiar with. I have the opposite of a green thumb, and I had to Google what's the opposite of green. There's a lot of different ideas out there, but the one that kept coming back was red. So I have a red thumb. I am horrible with plants. Never buy me plants. Logan Afton, I'm sorry, but the plant you bought me a couple of weeks ago for my birthday is dead completely. So I do not have a green thumb. I am not familiar with farming, but this is a simple enough parable that even those who, this isn't part of our daily living, we can understand what the spiritual principles that Jesus is trying to show us in this story, okay? So let's dig in. Matthew 13, starting with verse number 3. Jesus says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, before we go any further, I want to point out some of these daily truths of living, some of the objects, one of the characters in this story, and go ahead and set it alongside its spiritual counterpart so that we're all on the same page this morning, so that when I'm talking about the seed, you know what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about the farmer, you know who I'm talking about, okay? So the first object in the story, the first character is the farmer. And the farmer represents pastors, teachers, or anyone who has eaten of the word of God and now has seed in their hand to scatter. This morning, I'm the farmer. I've eaten of the word of God, studied the word of God. Now I have seed in my hand and I am scattering out among you this morning. Our elementary teacher, Mr. Brandon, he's a farmer this morning. Whoever's teaching in the 2s and 3s class is a farmer. Miss Andrea and the 4s and 5s, she's a farmer this morning scattering seed. When you go home and read stories to your kids tonight out of the Bible, you are a farmer. If you're sharing something with your small group, you are a farmer. You've eaten of the word of God. You have seed in your hand to scatter. Now, the seed represents the word of God. The seed is the word of God communicated in any manner to the minds of people. This could be by scriptures. This could be by preaching. This could be by the Holy Spirit sharing something with you. It's the word of God communicated to you in any manner. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the seed. The seed is the word of God. Okay, the soil represents the hearts of the people who hear God's word. So the soil represents your hearts this morning. And this is a part of the parable that I really want to focus on this morning. These 4 kinds of soil that Jesus talks about. We're going to dissect these soils, see what they're made of, because it's very important that we understand what kind of soil we have, because it's the soil of our hearts that's going to determine the harvest of our lives. So this morning, as you hear this message, I want you to think about this question. What kind of soil am I? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this word. Thank you for this parable that you shared thousands of years ago, that it still can minister to us today, Lord. We ask you to just open our eyes, help us to see this, Lord, in a new way. Speak to our hearts. Show us what kind of soil that we are. Show us the adjustments that we need to make, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask you to come and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so let's get into the first soil. After Jesus taught this little parable, a couple verses later in Matthew 13, he goes ahead and is real great and breaks this parable down so that everybody can understand it. So we're going to look at each soil, how he breaks them down. And the first type of soil, if you're taking notes, is trampled soil. Trampled soil. Matthew 13, 19, he says, "The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts." So this trampled footpath soil, it represents those who hear, but their hearts are too hard for the seed to take root. Okay, this trampled soil that Jesus is referring to, chances are that when Jesus was telling the story, there was actually a farmer out scattering seed. And you could see these four types of soil. And the first one was trampled. It was footpath soil, meaning that this was soil where people would walk back and forth with their horses, with their mules, with their carts. They're constantly treading over the soil. And as they tread over it, it becomes hardened. It becomes compacted. And it becomes so hard and so compact that when seed would fall on the soil, it could not take root. It would stay right there at surface level. This soil represents those who hear God's word, but they don't understand. Nothing breaks through. This morning, I have a question for you. How is the foot traffic of your heart? How's the foot traffic of your heart when you come and you sit at church? Maybe you had an argument with your spouse this morning. It's funny how Sunday mornings are like the prime breeding ground for arguments with your spouse on the way to church, is because the enemy knows that if he can get that argument to trample over your heart, back and forth, pacing across your heart when you're supposed to be sitting and hearing the word, that he can keep the word from taking root. Maybe it's the fact that there's a woman up here preaching this morning, and that scripture in the New Testament you heard about how a woman shouldn't talk in church, your misunderstanding of that scripture is now walking back and forth over your heart. And instead of receiving, you're thinking about how I shouldn't be talking up here. And I follow you. Thank you. So we've got to pay attention to the foot traffic of our heart. Maybe it's a problem that you have at work. You're here, you're present right now, your body is here, but your mind's already at the office. And you're thinking about that hard conversation that you have to have with one of your employees. And that conversation is trampling over your heart. And as that foot traffic tramples over the soil of your heart, it's hardening your heart and it's making it hard for that seed to take root. And it's so important that we keep our hearts soft and fertile. Because if we don't, like the parable said, that the birds of the air will come and snatch that seed away. The birds of the air in this parable represent Satan. And one of Satan's chief works, guys, the thing that he is working so hard to do is to steal the seed of the word of God from you. Because he knows if it takes root and if it produces fruit, then he's in big trouble. He doesn't want to see you receive revelation. He doesn't want to see transformation take place in your life. So he is working hard to steal that seed. And we make it easy when we let our hearts get hardened. And that seed sits right there on the surface. And he'll come and snatch it away easily. Have you ever been in a service with someone and you got so much out of the message? You get in the car and you're all excited and you're talking about how good it was, and they're like, "Yeah, I didn't really get much out of it." Chances are they had something trampling over their heart during that service. Maybe the pastor said something that offended them, and right then that foot traffic started back and forth across their heart. The seed stayed right here, and before they could even make it out to the car, Satan had already come and stolen it away. We have to make sure that our hearts stay soft. We have to be fertile soil. It's important to put up no through traffic signs before you sit down to your quiet time, before you come in and sit down to a church service, before you have a listen to a podcast or whatever you're doing. If you're in a situation, before you go to small group, whatever it is, put out some no through traffic signs. Get rid of all the distractions. You do that in worship. As you worship, the Lord will help lift those burdens off. Get your heart prepared to receive the word. The next type of soil that Jesus talked about was the shallow soil. Look at verse 20. He says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Shallow soil, guys, it represents those who hear, but whose roots don't go deep enough to keep the seed watered. And this seed or this soil represents a heart that's attentive. They're at church. They're taking notes. They even receive the message with joy. They get real excited. Maybe somebody who hears a message on tithing and they've never tithed before. They may be given a couple offerings, but they've never tithed. But they hear this message and the pastor lays it out so clearly that tithing is part of God's plan for our lives, and that when we do it, he opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing on us, that he rebukes the devourer for our sake, that it's better for us to live on 90% than 100%. They get so pumped up. They decide they are going to do this. They are going to tithe. They write their tithe check. They drop it in the offering box, and when they do, a seed sprouts up real quick. They get a little blossom. Something happens. But the next day, they're on their way to work. It's Monday morning, and they get into a fender bender. And as soon as this happens, doubt sets in. Doubt sets in, the sun starts to heat up, and that seed that was planted, when they drop that seed in the offering, that plant that sprouted up, it's now the heat is on, and they start to have these doubts. Well, why did this happen? What the pastor showed me in the word must not be true, because he said that my finances would be blessed, and this is not a blessing. I'm going to be late to work. I'm going to have to pay a $500 deductible. This is not okay. I'm not okay with this. And so they never tithe again. Their roots did not go deep enough. Listen, we have to not just hear a word, get excited, and live based on how we feel, the emotions that come along with it. We have to think about our roots. Listen to this in Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Everybody say, trust in the Lord. And whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. This says that if our trust is in God, he who trusts in the Lord. If our trust is in God, our roots go down deep, and when the sun comes, when things start to heat up, when doubt sets in, that our leaf can stay green. And not only will our leaf stay green, but we will produce fruit, which is the whole point of seed being planted in our life. We want to produce fruit. Great philosopher Dolly Parton said, storms make trees take deeper roots. That's good, right? Good stuff, Dolly. Storms make trees take deeper roots. That is so true. And this is why Paul says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, what Paul is saying is that when you get into a fender bender, you should be like, yes, this is awesome. I am so excited. This is the best day of my life. This rules. I love having to pay $500 for no reason, right? No, that's not what Paul is saying. What Paul means when he says, count it all joy, it's not a fake emotional reaction that he's talking about. It's a deliberate and intelligent assessment of the trial from God's perspective. When we look at trials that we go through, when we look at it from our perspective, we're not going to be finding a lot of joy. But when we can get God's perspective, that's when we can face it and have joy, a joy that comes from the Lord. So how does God view trials? He tells us in the very next scriptures, 3 and 4, he says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance, Not your patience, like the amount of time that you can wait at the DMV before you get frustrated. He's not talking about that kind of endurance. He's talking about the kind of endurance that it takes to finish a marathon, somebody that does not quit. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So God views our trials as an opportunity for our endurance to grow, for our roots to go down deeper. Now let's go back to the person who tithed and then got into the fender bender. What if in that moment, all these doubts are coming against him? They're doubting that the word is true. They don't understand. They're confused. They're lost. But what if in that moment they decide to say, you know what? I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust that he's going to work this out for me. I'm going to trust that what I saw in scripture is true. I don't understand, but that's okay. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to tithe again. I'm going to see what happens. Two things are going to happen. One, God is going to come through for them because God's word does not return void and it accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. It also says that God makes all things work together for those who love him. So if they trust in God, if they give him a chance, he will come through. And then secondly, if they trust in him, their roots are going to go deeper. And as their roots go deeper, then the next time the sun starts to heat up, then their plant does not wither. So when storms come, when trials, when tribulations, when various trials come your way, look at it as an opportunity for growth. Even when you don't understand everything, put your trust in him. I know, because we've lived this. I've gone through the various trials, marriage trials, losing a child trials, financial trials, heartbreak, betrayed trials. We've gone through trials I still don't all the way understand yet. But that's okay. I trust God and I trust his word and he comes through and my roots go deeper and I become steadfast and immovable. So we've got to trust in God. Count it all joy. Don't let your leaf wither. Don't be shallow. People with shallow soil collapse under pressure. And when the going gets tough, the shallow give up. Don't give up. Don't have shallow soil. Number three is crowded soil. Crowded soil. Matthew 13, Jesus says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. This is the soil, as I was looking at this, I related to the most. Crowded soil represents those who hear, but whose hearts are overcrowded, busy, and too distracted for the planted seed to produce fruit. Now, I want you to notice about this is that this is good soil. This is fertile soil. It's not like the footpath soil. It's not like the shallow soil. This is good, fertile soil because if thorns can grow up here, then also wheat or corn or whatever you'd be planting could grow up here. So the problem is not with the soil. The problem is that there's competitors for this soil. There's too many things vying for this good patch of soil. So that anytime seed is planted and fruit starts to produce, there's distractions, there's competitors that come in and overshadow and snuff the fruit out. What's competing with the seed of the Word of God in your life? What's distracting you? What's competing for this patch of soil that you have in your heart? Is it Netflix? Is it Hulu? Is it the fact that we can watch anything that we want, anytime we want, always on demand? Is it Gilmore Girls marathons? Is it reruns of The Office over and over again? That sounds better than reading God's word. What is competing for the soil of your heart? Maybe it's this tiny little magic rectangle that we carry with us everywhere that we go. Do you know that the average American accesses their phone every 11 minutes? Every 11 minutes, some probably more than that. Every 11 minutes, we reach for this thing. And it says that the average American touches this thing about 2,617 times a day. 2,617 times a day. We're scrolling, we're swiping, we're pinching, we're pulling 2,617 times a day. I'm not saying that I have this mastered. I know that I don't. I know that this is a problem because I can't be at the grocery store waiting in line and not reflexively pull this thing out. I can't wait for my waffle to pop out of the toaster in the morning without reflexively reaching for this little rectangle. There are so many things vying for a place in our hearts. We've got social media, we've got news media, and then we've just got life. just life. We are busy people with kids to take care of and spouses to love and parents to look after and groceries to buy and lawns to mow and PTOs to lead and Cub Scouts to participate in and sports here and work and school and tests. We're busy. There's so many things fighting for a spot in your heart. So many things that we have that can distract the Word of God and hinder it from growing. The seed of God cannot prosper in a distracted heart. So we have to cultivate our hearts. How do we do that? How do we get rid of all the weeds? How do we get rid of the distractions so that the fruit has room to grow and blossom? Matthew 6:33. You guys are probably familiar with the scripture. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, and strive after His kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first His kingdom. To seek first His kingdom, it's important that we know what is His kingdom and know what's not His kingdom. And that's why I love Romans 10:14, because it tells us, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. It's not that stuff, but it's living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is what we've got to seek after first, living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Message version says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or what may not happen tomorrow. Give God your entire attention. I read this week that the average attention span has fallen from 12 seconds, which isn't very impressive. It was 12 seconds in 2000, down to 8 seconds. So now we literally have a shorter attention span than a goldfish. It's a real problem in America. We have really short attention spans. The chief executive officer of Microsoft was recently quoted saying, "The true scarce commodity of the near future will be human attention." The thing that's going to be the hardest to come by is our attention span. How much more so when it comes to God's word? We've got to steep in what He's doing in our lives and not be so quick to move on. You know, the longer something steeps, the more flavor comes out of it, right? We've got to steep in what God's doing in our lives. When you get home or when you get in your car after church, don't just immediately get on social media and check what you've missed out. What have I missed? What post have I missed? Don't get home and go to the news and see what you've missed out on. What's happening around the world? Don't get in your car and immediately just turn on the radio and kind of zone out but steep in what God is doing. Talk about it. Stay there a little while. Give Him your entire attention. When you read your Bible in the morning, same thing. Steep in it. Don't move on to the next thing. Don't reflexively reach for your phone and miss out on what God is trying to do in your hearts. Okay? Let's have fertile soil, which is the next type of soil that Jesus talks about. He says in verse 23, "The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted." So fertile soil represents those who hear and understand and produce. They hear and understand and produce. Now know that at all the soils, every soil represented, they all heard. Okay, the first soil, they heard but didn't understand. The second soil, they heard but their soil was too shallow, right? They gave up when things got hard. The third soil, they heard but they were too distracted. This soil is the only one that hears and understands. They hear and understand. We have to not just hear God's word, but we have to understand it. How do we move from hearing it to understanding it? It's by experience. The process of understanding is not merely an intellectual one. To understand God's word, it's not based on your IQ. It's not based on a level of higher education. It's based on your personal experience with it. It's a difference between you hearing that Andy's dark chocolate dipped coffee ice cream is amazing. And it is amazing. I could stand up here and tell you all about it, how tasty it is and how the bitterness of the dark chocolate with the coffee. It's great. I could tell you all about it. It's the difference between hearing it and you actually going tonight and trying it yourself. then you've experienced it. You understand. You didn't just hear that it's amazing. Now you understand because you've experienced it. It's why doctors and nurses have to do things like clinicals and residency. Our system of learning is set up in a way where it's all about memorization and pass the test and read the books. There's not a lot of experience. But when it comes to doctors and nurses, aren't you glad? I'm glad that the surgeon who did my dad's heart surgery did not just read a big book and pass a test on it, but he had years of residency. Hands-on experience it with all of his five senses. I'm glad that the nurses that cared for my newborn baby did not just read about it. They did not just study and memorize and pass all the tests, but they had clinicals where they were there, where they were experiencing it, where they were seeing what it was like, where they were learning how to prioritize, learning how to work with babies that maybe a situation, a scenario they didn't read about in their book, but they've walked through, they've experienced it. This is what it's talking about when it's talking about understanding God's word. It has to move from here, us just knowing scripture, memorizing scripture, being able to spout off the last 3 points from the last message you heard. It's not enough to just say it, to just know it, to just have it up here. We've got to get it to move from here to here, to our hearts. And to do that, we have to experience it. How do we experience it? How do we experience God's word? James, this message, there's a lot of good stuff in James. James 1, you'll have to go back and read this week in its entirety. But James 1, verse 22 through 25, he says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. So if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, everybody say, do what it says. Good job. And don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you want to get God's word from your head to your heart, if you want to go from just being a hearer to being an understander, you have to experience it, and you experience it by doing it. We have to hashtag just do it. Just do it. When you think of those words, what do you think of? Nike, right? It's one of the most recognizable slogans in the world. And as I wrote those words this week, as I was preparing for the message, just do it, I found myself thinking of Nike. And then I found myself wondering, who came up with this brilliant slogan that this multi-billion dollar company has built their business on? And I researched it out as this advertising executive named Dan Wyden. And I wondered, where did he come up with this? How did this all come to be? And he was getting ready to present a bunch of ads that they'd come up with for Nike, and he said they were all kind of different, but they needed something to unite them, something that would brand them, something that even though the ads were different, that you would know was all part of the same company. And so they wanted to do something that would, one of the ads was like a mom who just needed to take that first step and get off the couch and start walking. So they're trying to reach the mom who just needs to start walking once a day to the athlete who is all in. That's their career. They live, they die on their athletic career. So they're trying to reach a mom to a professional athlete. And what's the one thing that's going to tie this all together? And as this guy is racking his brain and brainstorming, writing down different slogans, he remembers this story that he heard. It's kind of a wild story of this man who had murdered two people. He murdered two people, was convicted and sentenced to death. And this was in 1976, and I didn't know they still did death by firing squad in 1976, but they did. And that's what this guy got sentenced to, death by firing squad. So before he is about to face his death penalty, before they put the bag over his head, they say, do you have any last words? And he says, let's do it. And when Dan heard that, that's always stuck with him. So that night, as he's thinking, what are we trying to encompass with these ads? What are we trying to get across to these people? Those words come back to his mind. And instead of let's, he changes it to just, and just do it is born. And here's what he says. He said, how could a man facing that much uncertainty just push through that? How could he face the firing squad with such boldness? They decided that boldness in the face of uncertainty was the message Nike was trying to convey to their market. So he changed let's to just, and just do it was born. I think James is trying to say the same thing to us. In the face of uncertainty, even if you feel like your back is against the wall, and you're looking down the barrel of a gun and Satan himself is holding a gun, if it comes to God's word, just do it. Just do God's word. No matter what, no matter if you feel like it, no matter if nobody else is doing it, you're the only one standing for what's right. You're the only one that's doing what God's word says to do. We just do it. When we hear a message about worship, and we hear that worship is love expressed, and that we express our love through raising our hands and clapping our hands and singing and bowing down, we just do it. Because it's in the word. That's how we express our love to God. So we don't ask questions. We don't wait for the person next to us to start doing it. It's in God's word. So we just do it. Or we hear a message on, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We read that in our Bibles and we think, oh, that's really good. We can all spout that verse off. We all have it memorized. But are we doing it? When we have a bad day, when we want to grumble, when we want to complain, we go back to that. That says, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. We just do it. We do what the word says. Maybe you hear a message on serving, on volunteering, on how Jesus served others. So we're to serve others. And then instead of waiting for everything to be right, instead of waiting until you feel like it, instead of waiting until it all makes sense, you just pick up an application, fill it out, and get plugged in. You just do it. The word of God says that we give, that we have a part to play in the body of Christ. So we just do it. When it comes to God's word, if you want to experience his word, you just have to do it. You have to do it, all of it. Now, I'm going to close with this. In Matthew 13:23, Jesus said that the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word. Understanding comes by doing, by experiencing. They will produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. When we hear and we understand, we produce. And what's interesting about this is that it's the same seed. It's the same soil, but there's different varying amounts of harvest. There's a 30-fold return on the table, there's a 60-fold return on the table, and there's a 100-fold return on the table. I don't know about you, but if there's a 100-fold on the table, I want the 100-fold return. That's the name of this message, that 100-fold life. You know, on your phone, you have the little emoticons, and one of them that I use a lot is the 100. Like if I'm eating a really good meal, I'll put a bunch of 100s. There's no 30. Emoticon. There's no 60 emoticon. It's all about the 100 because that's the best. This is what Jesus has on the table for us, a 30, 60, or 100-fold return. So if there's a 100-fold return, then why are some people getting 30 and some people getting 60 when it comes to the seed of God being planted and the return that they see in their lives? This Christmas, I asked for something that every girl wants for Christmas, and that was longer eyelashes. Some of my friends had gotten eyelash extensions and they looked awesome. And then some were using the little lash serums and they looked awesome. I'd seen my friend's Phoebe eyelashes grow like miraculously as every time I'd see her, they were longer and more beautiful. And I was like, that's what I want for Christmas. So I ordered it from her, got a little package in the mail and got it out and put this where I would see it every night so that I would not forget to put it on. Because she told me, if you want the long eyelashes, consistent application is key. I was like, okay, I can do this. I think I even texted her back, consistency is my middle name. And started to put this on, and about 4 weeks in, I saw results. My lashes looked longer and fuller, and I was excited. And then I started to get lazy with it, and I went to using it from every day to every other day. And then I went to every other day to once a week, and then I went to never. And understand that there was a 100-fold return on these lashes that I wanted, but I settled for the 30-fold return. And the reason that I didn't get the 100-fold return is because it wasn't a consistent application. God's word is the same way in your lives. If you want the 100-fold return, it has to be consistently applied to your lives. Consistently. You can't just pick the parts of scripture that you want to apply. Oh, this message on serving, I am all about that. I'm going to apply that. I'm going to plug in. But this message on forgiveness, not ready for that yet. That person's going to be living the 30-fold life instead of that 100-fold life. If you want that 100-fold life, consistently apply God's word and you will see the results. You know, every week at the end of a service, Pastor Josh says these words, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? And it's in this moment when our eight second attention spans really struggle, right? Mine really struggles. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? I'm going to get some Wendy's after church and I got to do this tomorrow, and I start checking out and my attention span, I have to really rein it in. And I'm sure most of you, if you're being honest, would say, that's me sometimes. He says, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? And I'm saying, get my stuff together so I can be the first one to pick my kids up in Boomtown. But when he says that, this is a moment where the Holy Spirit wants to show you how to apply what you just heard. He wants to show you how to apply the scriptures that you've seen, the truths that you've been taught. So it's so important that in that moment, you really get quiet. You give God your entire attention. Don't get on social media. Nothing happened that you can't catch up on later. Don't get distracted by anything else. Really give him your attention. Let him speak to you. Let him show you. This is where he wants to show you what you might be missing. This is where he wants to show you how you can apply. This is where he really wants to make that word go from here to here. Okay? So we're going to do that this morning. If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? And just listen. Holy Spirit, show us how we can better cultivate the soils of our hearts. Show us how we can apply truths in our lives. Speak to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are welcome in this place. We ask you to come and have your way. We give our entire attention to you, Lord. We steep in your word. Lord, we want it to transform us. We don't want to plant. We want fruit, Lord. We want that hundredfold life. Thank you, Jesus. If you would stand to your feet, we're going to go back into a time of worship. I'm going to invite our altar ministry team to come down. If you're on the altar ministry team, you can go ahead and get in your place. And I just want to invite you before we leave today to come. If you have need of prayer for anything, if there's something going on in your life, something big, something little, he wants to partner. These people in the altars want to partner with you. They want to pray with you. They want to join their faith with yours so that you can leave here free from burden, free from stress, free from worry, full of hope, full of faith. So just want to invite you as we worship, if you have need of prayer of anything, come down. Receive prayer. And if you don't, just press in, just worship. This is another one of those moments that we've built into the service where you can just continue to hear the voice of God, continue to steep in what he's doing in your lives in this moment. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every person in need of prayer to the altar and help us to steep in what you're doing in our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from New Song Church. If you have a prayer need or would like more information about New Song, you can email info@newsongpeople.com. If you would like to partner with New Song through giving, go to www.newsongpeople.com/give. And if you want to stay connected to New Song, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for New Song People.